The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
We're going to start with a prelude by our wonderful fellowship singers. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards and the world needs vision. Bring them with you. And your joy and your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your power to heal. There is work to do. And you have all you need right here in this room. I'm the Reverend Andrew L. Weber, minister at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I try my best to bring my full self to the altar of life. I'll put that back for you. I strive to bring both my need for healing and my ability to heal, for I know that I need to be healed, and I know that my presence can, in some fashion, bring some healing to others. And so many of us, because I am not alone, so many of us are in need of healing, so many of us, all of us, have that power to heal by bringing our presence. We are all ministers, all seekers, all guides. We are all broken. We are all worthy of love. We are all able to heal. This is our faith imperative, the radical, the uncomfortable charge that you are worthy of love. I said this a lot last week. It's still true. It's always true. You are worthy of love. Your neighbor is also worthy of love. The stress I use in this welcome, and I put it, yeah, there's the stress. The stress I use in the sentence is deeply meaningful, not just in a play on words. I like making little jokes and plays on words, but the deeper meaning behind it. All of you are welcome, no matter how you voted, no matter whom you love, how you express yourself physically or theologically, as long as you agree to act kindly with one another, you are welcome here. All of you. And all of you is welcome here. That stress, your anger is welcome, just as is your despair, your hope, your joy, your heartbreak. We ask only that you bring your full, your true selves, while being true to yourself, letting others do the same and be true to themselves. This is a community where it is safe to feel, safe to express, safe to explore. So come, let us enter into the quagmire of emotions which we bring today. Come, let us worship this morning. We formally and symbolically begin our time of worship by lighting a chalice. The symbol of the chalice holding a flame was created in the midst of World War II. As a response to fascism and violence. This was and is a symbol telling those in harm's way that they have found a safe space. It is my hope that we continue to be a beacon of love when there seems to be darkness all around. Will Larry Hare please come forward to light the chalice as I read these words from Sharon Weil. It is said that ministers are here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I say we are all afflicted. We are all comfortable. May our time together this morning be a comfort and a confrontation. May we here find peace in times of tumult. May we here invite tumult into our lives of peace. May we find calm in times of restlessness, and may we allow restlessness to evolve into action. Let this be a place you consider what you've never considered. Let this be the place you imagine for yourself something new and unthinkable. May this hour bring dreams of new ways of being in the world. Come, let us worship, let us be together this hour. We strive in this community to work for peace in our hearts and in our world. As such, we light a second beacon, a second flame. If you would please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us. Thank you, Larry. Our gathering hymn is 348, Guide My Feet. We are not watching a video today, which I think is a blessing. We have live support. Yes, yes, yes. Their lyrics are on the screen, and if you want a hymnal, I like holding a hymnal, they're in the back. Feel free to get up and get a hymnal. read from the screen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and if you do rise, go to the side so people can still see the lyrics. The origin of the term religion, if you looked at the blurb for today, I did a little bit of etymology, like dorking out with word origin, which I really, we could have a long discussion about that if you want to. But the origin of the term religion is up for debate, and one of the theories is that there's a common root with the term ligature and binding. So religion, re-binding, to bind together again. And in this explanation, religion has this as an origin, as an idea of binding up or joining together someone or some things. And now whether or not, I also like theology, so whether or not the etymology is true, I find it very interesting theologically what this might mean, right? Does religion provide a binding or a binding, right? One is a limiting constraint, the other is a bandage for healing. That could be a whole topic, and it is. My hope and goal, hopefully you know, my hope and goal is that we're bandaging, we're healing. We're looking at the brokenness in our lives, we're looking at the brokenness in the world, and we go to that sort of binding, that bandaging, that healing that needs to happen, of joining together broken hearts and broken communities. And today, this week, our hearts may feel broken. Our communities may feel broken. I was almost going to take out the may in that sentence. Our communities feel broken. There are divisions. Out of the multitude of our realities and our feelings, we come here to both feel healing and to provide healing. I want to share a letter written from our national organization, the Unitarian Universalist Association. Some of you are probably on this mailing list, many of you are not. So if you know this, hear it again. This was sent out on Wednesday morning. This morning, we awoke to the undeniable reality that the religious and political right's decades-long strategy to sow fear and division and pit our communities against one another prevailed on the electoral landscape. While there were victories on important issues and state measures and local races, we cannot deny that the politicians who will hold control of this presidency and the Senate have told us clearly their intent to target our communities and further destabilize our democracy. Beloveds, we are with you in all of it today. We acknowledge that among us are a wide range of emotions, experiences, reactions, and needs. We make space for all of us, and we join you in your tears, your terror, your anger. We know well that these election results will mean even more threats against beloveds among and beyond our congregations, especially BIPOC folks, migrants, trans, non-binary, queer people, the disabled community, people with uteruses, and more. There is profound rage in the nation right now among both the staggering number of those who chose to vote for this deadly agenda of domination and division, and those who feel betrayed and dehumanized by it. Fear is also rampant across the country, although how we respond to that fear has clearly led us to respond in wildly different ways. Many of us, particularly those who have never found full hope and safety in the protections of the state, are not surprised at this outcome, even as we are shattered by it. That's the division I'm talking about. The division which pits people against people even as we try to do the right thing. The division that you might not feel welcome here if you voted a particular way. Don't worry. You are welcome. You are worthy of love. Please know, however, that there are contrasts. There are concerns, contrasts between what the president-elect says and what we as Unitarian Universalists hold dear. I want to be clear, I am not anti-Trump, but I am anti-hate. I'm anti-hate. That's my problem. The campaign and his last term in office was one of overt racism, homophobia, hatred, fear, sexism, and ableism. I'm not fearful of the one man in office as much as I am fearful of the hatred he embodies and the country that put him in power. Now, as Unitarian Universalists, we promote the inherent worthiness and dignity of every person, a value I do not see in our country's upcoming administration, which is why we come here today. This is why we come here, because there's a hurt. There's a hurt in our country. There's a hurt possibly in our lives. We need to acknowledge that pain we feel, the burden or the discomfort we hold in our lives, and the burden, the discomfort we see in the world, which actually brings me to the baskets at the door as you came in. There are two baskets, and there was a sign that says, take two rocks. If you didn't, you can always get up, get a rock. I will not be offended if you're walking around getting rocks. I invite you now to take one of these rocks and hold it in your hand. Yeah, and actually, someone could even grab a basket and walk around, and if you need a rock, just put up your hand. And if you're at home, you can run outside and get a rock. You can crumple up a piece of paper, something physical that you have in your hand. Or imagine holding a rock. I'll have these later. You can come and get one. I want you to think about any pain, discomfort, fear that you might have in your soul. Feel the weight of that emotion as you feel the weight of your stone. Give it voice, give it name. I invite you now or later to write or draw on this rock of yours, to give voice to that feeling you have, the emotion you have. And actually, I'm gonna ask someone else to grab, can someone grab the markers that are there? And just pass them out. You're going to have to share the markers. This is how we embody some of our values. There are markers, they'll be passed around. They're permanent markers, so the kids are playing with them. That's great. Just be careful, because they're permanent. So maybe, pass them around with the, they're for stones, please, not for other things. And yes, if you need multiple rocks, you may get more rocks for your fears, for your pains, for that weight that you're holding on to, that's holding on to you. The rocks are different shapes and sizes. Some are broken or chipped. Some are really big or small, just as our feelings and our emotions are. I've asked Matt to play a little bit of background music as we walk around to share pens, to get more rocks, to draw or write on them what we're feeling. This is not a call to end the activity. Continue holding that pain, writing on your stone or stones, passing pens back and forth. The pain I feel is my neighbor walking by in tears, fearful for her daughter, who's just a year younger than my daughter, who even at that young age knows that her gender identity is not the same as her sex assigned at birth. I hold anger, knowing that once more I have to have conversations with my children about how bullying, being mean, being disrespectful is not okay, despite examples from people in power. Most difficult for me is that I feel disgusted that I, as a light-skinned, middle-class, cisgender, straight male, benefited and will continue to benefit from the ongoing oppression of historically marginalized people. My feelings weigh heavily on me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my emotions and the fact that there are people I dearly love who felt that this regime was the better choice. I don't know what to do. But one thing I do know is that by listening to ourselves, by listening to each other, we can start to honor our feelings, we can start to honor others' feelings and hold each other in love. So I'm gonna ask you now to take a moment to turn to your neighbors and share your thoughts with kindness, with humility. Share your thoughts with each other online. You can do this in the chat also. Please. There will be more time for sharing in this service, at the potluck afterwards. Anytime I do sharing in a service, you may notice this, I always cut it off before you're done. I do that on purpose. I do that on purpose because I want the conversation to continue after our time here. Let us now continue to reflect this time through meditative music, again by our fellowship singers. Time for turning.
I'm Nikki, I'm part of the care team here at TPUF. When we set aside time to listen to each other, we do it mindfully and with intention. We are also intentional about who introduces our time of sharing. Each week, a different member of the care team steps up to hold the sacred space for our community. The care team is a group of TPUF members and friends who work closely with Reverend Andrew to ensure our community's caring needs are being met. Our purpose is to support each other when we are in need. The care team can provide a listening ear and caring presence. As we provide care to this community, we also rely on it as much of our work as coordinating. We can help to facilitate meal delivery and transportation. We also can refer out to community resources. Whatever the need, the care team can provide a loving presence and guide. If you or someone you know could use a listening ear or specific support, please let us know. There are multiple ways to contact the care team. You can click the caring request button on tpuff.org, email tpuff.caring@gmail.com, or call or text Reverend Andrew, or approach one of us who has a special care team button or sticker on our badges. As we turn to matters of the heart, life comes at us with waves of joy and sorrow. When those waves become too much for us to hold by ourselves, we share. Let us now take a moment to share into this caring community any matter we hold in our heart, which spills out for support or celebration. Online, you can let the host know. In person, you can come forward and speak briefly into the microphone. Please start with your name. Come, let us share together, and please be your whole and true self. Also keeping in mind that we have an intergenerational service and friends of many ages with us right now.
I don't want to cut anyone off, but I acknowledge that we could continue until tomorrow. We could continue. So please hold in your hearts. And thank you all for being so open to share and open to hear. And know, if you don't already, know that we do not all agree, right? Know that, but still hold love at the center. Let us now reflect on these joys, these sorrows, all of them, those spoken, those held in our hearts, those held by the person next to us, as we sing, Precious Lord. Now, if you need to, translate this in your mind to be like, Spirit of life, okay, something, you know, Spirit of family, Precious Lord, whatever that means for you. It's 199 in your hymnal.
Our time to a close with a reflection from somebody who is an amazing woman and who will continue to be our first female vice president for the next 2 months. Let's enjoy it, let's embrace it, and the rest of us aren't going anywhere. There is an adage, Only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time. For the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a billion brilliant stars. May the light of optimism, faith, truth, and service guide us, even in the face of setbacks, toward the exterminating promise of the United States of America. That was Kamala Harris.
You may be looking at your watches and thinking, aren't we usually done by an hour? We are. If you need to go, I am not going to be offended if you're like, I have to go or I have to do something. That is okay. But we're going to continue on here. I have a reading, and the reading here is actually from the movie adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Two Towers. And next week, the entire service is going to be inspired by The Lord of the Rings, so come back. Come back to hear more. At this point in this story that I'm quoting from, Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee are at a turning point in their quest, and they're having doubts about going forward. The narrative begins with Frodo. Frodo says, I can't do this, Sam. Sam, I know it's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here, but we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folks in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't, because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? That there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. What are we holding on to? That there is some good in this world and it's worth fighting for. That's part of the question for today. How do we live our lives in this divided and scary world? How do we keep on living our mission of promoting social justice, of equality, despite and in the midst of pain and fear? It comes down to the fact that we keep promoting social justice. We keep working toward equality. We must have the faith, the hope that what we do matters, that a caring world is indeed possible. Theodore Parker, the 19th century Unitarian, penned the following somewhat well-known sentiment: the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Here are his exact words from 1853. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by the experience of sight. I can devise it by conscience. And from what I see, it bends toward justice. That is a hopeful statement of faith if I've ever heard one. That's where we need to get to, the point which can be healed and which then we can spread our healing into a broken world. Part of my hope comes from my faith, comes from Unitarian Universalism, which says that every person has worthiness, has value, right? I was going to quote from our president, but I will pass over that. In the days, in the weeks, in the years to come, it's important to hold on to our values. It's important to hold on to our knowledge that what we do in the world matters. It makes a difference, that we can help create a bandage, which is so desperately needed. So here I ask you, all of you, now or at other times, what keeps you going when you feel in the midst of despair? What is your beacon of hope? Where do you see the moral arc of the universe bending toward justice, and how are you part of that bending? For me, this isn't about politics as much as it's about personhood. If our economy is healthy, but our morality is poor, then what are we left with? If our borders are secure, but thousands are left without the necessities of living, then who are we saving? So now, please, take hold of your second stone. If you're like, oh, I wrote my other pain or my other hurt on that, there are more stones. Take a hold of your second stone. Feel the weight, the solidness of that stone. We know the pain that has weight. We already have that holding us down. Think of all the hope and the love you have for a more just and compassionate world. Feel your hope as something physical, something which you can see and manipulate. And when you're ready, push that hope into the stone you are holding. And of course, just like the pain and the hurt, you are welcome to get more stones for more hope, for more love. Fill this stone with your love, with your expectations for the future. Your love and hope isn't gone from you, it's multiplied, duplicated, fortified. So we're going to have another, and it'll be brief time, this will be time at the potluck afterwards, to write on your hope, to write your love, to write your wishes, to write what you are committed for. What is the love that you're pouring out into the stone? Write a wish, a word, a poem, a picture, and again, we're going to have some music as we do that, and pass around those pens. Again, I'm not cutting you off. Feel free to continue on this. My hope is in our community and it's in ourselves. I have faith that I can sit down at our potluck with someone who has disagreed with everything I've said this morning and have a civil conversation about their hopes and dreams, about my hopes and dreams. My hope comes from my faith that people are good. And that even when it is hard, even when it is so difficult, we can find common ground. And before, and this is the most important part, so I'm not going to cut this short, I want you to share your hopes, your faiths, your dreams with each other. So I'm going to let you loose for another time of sharing with those around you. Of what are you holding on to? What is your love? What is your hope? There's lots of time to share your hope, to share your love. Do not stop the conversation here. But now, what I want to do is I invite you to hold the first stone or stones as a remembrance of the heartache you feel. You can raise it up, that's fine, yeah. Take your time. Let this sit with you. Know that there is weight to this. Right? I might put mine in my pocket and leave it there for a couple days. Later today, weeks later, maybe longer than that, when you're ready, let go of that pain. You can do this by physically burying your stone, by smashing it, wear eye protection if you do that, by hiding it, by giving it away somehow. When you're ready, let go of that pain. For that second stone or stones, your hope, your love, your wishes, I encourage you to display this proudly, to pass it along. Maybe right now, maybe at the potluck, give it to someone. Give your hope, give your love to someone who could use the boost. Put it in a public place where some stranger may find it. It's like, why is this? What is this stone that says love on it? Wow. Right? Take more time during the potluck. There are many more stones. Just keep the markers back there and keep writing on them. Promote more hope. Promote more love. In closing, I want you to remind you, as Gina mentioned, to remind you of the message from last week. No matter what your pain, no matter what your hope, no matter whom you voted for, you are worthy of love. Right? And so is the person who disagrees with you. Remember to breathe and always, always approach others with humility, curiosity, and openness. When we're eating our food, some of which I am morally opposed to, which you love, right? We had those differences there. Approach each other with humility, with curiosity, with openness. This is a safe space. We make it a safe space. We are the ones who make this a safe space where you can be yourself in pain, where you can be yourself in joy, feeling confused, feeling betrayed. We will walk together. And while we are walking together, we will be creating a world with love at the center. Amen and amen. And will the fellowship singers please lead us in our closing hymn 121, We'll Build a Land. You may rise in body or in spirit. amazing ministry. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Fellowship Singers. Please stay for our benediction/postlude today. Will be the Fellowship Singers. I extinguish our chalices, knowing that they remain lit in our hearts, in our souls, with these words from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways in which I could respond to my situation, either to react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. Amen and blessed be.
Gracious, gracious, come.